Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, you told me that all I have to do is ask. You told me to trust in you, so I made it my daily task to go to you in all I say and do, to follow your will, cause you see me through. All of my needs you met for me, Jesus.
Whatever you want from me,
Lord, because you set my spirit free. I say yes, Lord.
Every chance I get,
every chance I can, I gotta say yes.
All of my needs you met.
All my needs you met, Lord, I gotta say yes.
Whatever you want from me.
Good evening and welcome to Kingdom Empowerment Incorporated. This is Brother Kevin Graves coming to you this evening. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. I hope all is well within the body of Christ. I just want to return to the topic that I had discussed last time we had a chance to be together, and that topic was the atoning blood. I had indicated that the blood has purpose, and I had briefly described the characteristics or the function, if you will, of blood, that blood is the familiar red fluid in the body that contains white and red blood cells, platelets, proteins, and other elements. The blood is transported throughout the body by the circulatory system. Blood functions in two directions, arterial and venous. Arterial blood is the means by which oxygen and nutrients are transported to tissues, while venous blood is the means by which carbon dioxide and metabolic byproducts are transported to the lungs and kidneys, respectively, for removal from the body. And that is the function of blood. So we know this. Blood has a purpose. As the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, has a purpose, because the Bible states that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we understand that blood has a purpose, blood has a function. I want to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon your word, to reflect upon precept, Lord, to look upon those things that you consider, Heavenly Father, sacred and holy. And Lord, we just ask that you would shift our minds, Lord, from our day-to-day troubles and circumstances, that you would transform us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would shift our thinking, renew our minds, and help us to focus on eternal things, Lord. For Lord, you are looking for a remnant, a people, men servants, women servants, who you're using, who you would like to use for your glory. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would make us usable for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My brothers and sisters, I'm actually groaning regarding the state of not just the body of Christ, but this world that we're living in. And when we pick up the newspaper or we turn on the television, we see that it is a world that is in chaos. It is a world that is troubled. It is a world that is becoming increasingly violent. And with that, there is a great need to really increase our prayer life, to go deeper into the things of God, to really begin to pray fervently for one another, and to pray for a world that is becoming increasingly depraved and bloodthirsty, since we're on the subject of blood. What I would like to do is to go to a scripture, and for those who have their Bibles, please go with me to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I know the topic is the atoning blood, but I feel unctioned to read this particular scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I'm going to read that verse again. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own glory, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. When I say we, I include myself. I am not exempt. We need to know what this love, this agape love, this love that the Word of God is telling us. This particular love that the Word of God is telling us, I'm praying for, and I'm asking God to help me in this area, to teach me how to love. Brothers and sisters, we say that we love our family members, we love our friends, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but unfortunately, this love has conditions, and I'm very much a student to this, and I'm asking the Lord to really do something supernatural in me so that I can love unconditionally, so that this love, when trouble comes, will abide. When the walls are closing in, when there's persecution, when I'm being hated for Christ's name's sake, I am praying, my brothers and sisters, that this love that God is referring to will abide. That this love will come to the surface, if you will. And I'm referring to the same kind of love that Jesus had shown when he was being crucified, when he was on the cross, and instead of speaking negatively, Jesus looked at his scoffers, he looked at his mockers, prayed for them in the midst of that situation that he was in. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's one example that we have in the Holy Bible. Another example is the servant Stephen. In the midst of persecution as well, Stephen, being stoned, asked our Heavenly Father not to hold this sin against those who were stoning him. He said, Father, forgive them. Hold not the sin against them. In the midst of being stoned, do we have that kind of love? Is that a part of our character to possess that kind of love? And I'm praying for that kind of love. I'm praying that the body of Christ will, in unity, will have that kind of love so that the world can see that the God that we serve is real. And this is where we must be. We must be in one accord. We must have this kind of love that the Bible is telling us to have. And I don't care if you can prophesy. I don't care if you've done great works, whether you fed the poor, you've helped out this widow, you've assisted this stranger. You can do all of those things. But as the Bible clearly states, if you don't have love, then you're just wasting your time. I don't want to get to that point where God says to depart from him because he doesn't know me. I don't want to stand upon the foundation of my works, upon my ability to prophesy and to cast out demons, get to the end of my walk with Christ and have the Lord say, Kevin, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. No. I implore us together, brothers, sisters, the body of Christ, that we re-examine the word love. Re-examine it as God would have us to understand it. Not just to say, oh, yeah, sure, I love you. Yeah, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This love, this word, this verb is an action word. It is not just a word, but it is a word which requires us to not just say it, but to be about it, to display it in spirit and in truth. And the last time we spoke, I had asked a question with regards to whom do you say that I am? This was actually a question that Jesus had asked Peter. And this is a question that we need to really begin to ask. What does the life of Christ mean to us? Now, the question that I had posed was, what does the shed blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? And I'm not looking for a religious answer, actually. That's easy. But what I'm looking for is an answer that comes from the heart. What does the shed blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Now, a woman of God had responded, who was listening and answered the question, had mentioned that the shed blood means a great, it means so much. She had specifically said that it means protection and authority, and that's true. And what I would like is to, or what I would like for us, is to really personalize this, to begin to look at our lives, to begin to look back at where we once were. And I'm sure that there is a situation or a circumstance where God revealed himself to you. Now, you may have been in sin, and a word came, or something supernatural occurred. Perhaps you were in a life-death situation, and miraculously God saved you. When we look back at the paper trail, privity of going here, of going there, and we begin to examine our lives, and when we personalize this, then will we truly understand what the shed blood of Jesus Christ means to us. And I would also say that, if you don't mind, I would like to give my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to again include myself in this, that we give ourselves an assignment, that we begin to write, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to me, you my brother, you my sister. Now, I know this sounds fundamental, but we need this. We need these reminders of what God's grace, when the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What does John 3:16 mean to us? And we can quote the scripture. We can quote it very well. And it's amazing because I'm sure we've seen the scripture many times, and it's we read it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. These are the words of Jesus Christ. But we need to take those words and now apply it. What does it mean to me personally? How has these words transformed my life as a Christian? Have I grown? Have I gone from the old creation now into the new? Has these words, the Holy Scriptures, have these words just truly transformed you? We can pray, we can fast, we can quote scripture, we can go to church, have perfect church attendance, and still not get this. We can fast 40 days, 40 nights, and end up a skinny devil. That is not the will of God. We need to truly, when we read scripture, the words need to have some impact on our lives, where we begin to relate to what's being written and saying, yes, I can relate to that. I can relate to the Samaritan woman. I can relate to Jeremiah. I can relate to the prophets of the Old Testament. I can relate to a Peter who had the zeal about him. I can relate to the boldness of a Paul. I can relate to the men and women of the Bible. I can relate to a Ruth. We need to examine ourselves. What does this blood, this atoning blood, mean to us? I can sit here and tell you it means salvation. I can sit here and also tell you it means redemption. It means healing, deliverance. It means restoration. Go with me to Mark's account. Mark chapter 15. And I am going to start at verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. That centurion, now whether he knew it or not, had a transformation. he went from one frame of mind to another. And when Christ died upon that cross, when he took his last breath, something supernatural took place, not just in the life of that centurion with his statement, but also with our relationship with the Almighty God. The shed blood of Jesus Christ brought access to the spirit realm for us. It gave us access to the throne of God. It gave us a relationship which was broken back in the garden. A relationship that was broken because of disobedience. And because God could not partner himself with unrighteousness and disobedience, there was a separation. The shed blood of Jesus Christ repaired that relationship. The shed blood of Jesus Christ restored that which was broken. And only he could have done it. No lamb, no bull, no animal could have established this. For that time has passed. When the priest, the high priest, would sacrifice animals without spot nor blemish for the atonement of the congregation of Israel, that time has gone. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, our sinless lamb, he has restored us. His shed blood, his perfection, his obedience, his sacrifice has restored us back into right relationship with our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's re-examine what we know. Let's reestablish this relationship. And now let's look at it from a personal point of view. I want to open up the phone lines for any questions or comments. And I would like to, again, ask the question, what does the shed blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Caller, you're on the air. Any questions, any comments? Questions or comments? Okay. Beloved, go with me to the book of Leviticus. And I am going to, let's see, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The word of God says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So, there we have in the Old Testament the significance of blood and how sacred it is to our God. And it stands to be true that the mindset of our God with regards to the sacredness of blood as it applied in the Old Testament, nothing has changed. It also applies in the New Testament as well. And we really need to examine the things of God, what God considers to be holy, what God considers to be sacred. Do we share that same mindset? Do we share the mindset that I love my brother, I love my sister, and even though this individual wronged me, I still love them, and we still need to, again, come together, reconcile our differences. There are issues within the body of Christ, no doubt, no doubt. We are not perfect people. We are not perfect people. We're still striving for spiritual maturity. We're still growing in the things of God. That's understandable. But at what point do we advance from drinking milk to now meat? At what point do we advance in our understanding? Or do we remain in that fetal position? Do we remain drinking milk? Do we remain in that child stage? At what point in our Christian walk do we advance? Do we want to advance? And these are questions. These are questions that we need to begin to seriously ask ourselves. There was a time in my Christian walk where I felt like a spiritual dwarf. I was going to church. I was doing all of the, ritualistic things or routine things, if you will. I was doing the work, but I felt empty. I didn't feel as if I was really impacting the kingdom of God. And to the point where I left the church and I just stopped going. My love of sports preceded my love for the things of God. I wasn't involved in ministry. I do thank God for a sister that called me, and she was asking about me. She says, "Oh, brother, how you doing? I haven't seen you in church." And I was actually taken back by the fact that she actually reached out, and she showed concern. And God bless her, and I'll never forget her, and a good sister. And she was legitimately concerned. She had not seen me in church for quite some time, and she was legitimately concerned about my well-being. And that's what I'm referring to, that love. Where is that? I just finished reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, where the word of God says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, again, when are we going to put away the childish things? Or are we going to remain in that state? Are we comfortable in that state? Or perhaps it's an issue regarding leadership. Maybe the leadership likes for the congregation to be children. Because if they ever became sons and daughters, their eyes would be open. If they ever became sons and daughters, they would discern. Is it beneficial? This is a question. Perhaps it's beneficial to the leadership of the church to have the congregation in a childish state where they're not growing. I'm not saying that was my case. I made a choice. Is the leadership responsible in some way of keeping the congregation in that childish state? That's a possibility. For me personally, I had layers. I had layers that needed to be peeled back. I needed deliverance. And not until I received that deliverance were my eyes open. I had to come to a place where I had enough. And my brothers and sisters, I came to that place. And not until I said, "I need help." I'm tired of doing this in my own strength. I can't do this anymore in my own strength. That at that point, I sought God out, and he delivered me. I'm going to say that again. I sought God out. He chose me. I never chose him. And I got the deliverance that I needed. But because I came to that place called sick and tired, at that point, I said, okay, now I can work on him. Now, it was a roller coaster ride. It wasn't easy. This wasn't a 12-step plan now. This was a process that I had to go through. It was a journey, and I thank God for it every step of the way. And it was even a time when I said, boy, if only I knew then what I knew now. No. Don't have that conversation. I had that conversation. But now I look back at it and I say, that was a part of my journey. I wasn't ready yet. It wasn't my season. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God was patient with me, that he loved me so much that he did not want me to die in my sin. And he doesn't want you to die in your sin. He doesn't want us to perish. Hold him to his word. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to deliverance for his people. He wants restoration for his people. That's why Jesus died for us. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a ministry of healing and deliverance. And he came to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, so that we can be a blessing to those who are lost. Persecution is going to come our way. Trouble is going to come our way. Not to destroy us, but to make us better, to make us stronger, so that we can be a blessing to someone else. What we go through as believers is actually for someone else. I don't know if you know that or not. All of this trouble and pain is for someone else, so that we can be a living example of the deliverance of our God. And that is the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is a ministry of healing and deliverance and love, restoration, redemption, salvation. It's all, the foundation of it is love. Because quite frankly, I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve God's mercy. I didn't deserve the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I deserved hell. And I think to myself, why, God? Why would you do this for me? Why me? Why am I so special? What makes me set apart? Who am I? All I am is dust. That's it. Flesh, bone, dust. Somewhere in eternity, God must have saw beyond the dust. He must have saw something. Maybe that God has a plan for us. Maybe before we were formed in our mother's womb, there was a purpose. There was a plan. Let us not sit on what God has given us. Let us not be so preoccupied with the carnal things and begin to shift our mind towards things eternal, things everlasting, things that will not perish, things that will not fade away. Our ministry should not be one of riches, but it must be one of restoration. The foundation of our ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, must be a ministry of love. If that is not the foundation, that foundation will not last. If it is a foundation based formed out of greed, formed out of manipulation and control, that foundation will not last. And number one, and another thing, God does not honor that foundation. Even though he may use you for the benefit of others, but in the end, you have your reward. This is not about filthy lucre. This is not about being lords over God's people. This is about being responsible shepherds, being responsible watchmen and women. We have been given a mandate. We have been given a responsibility, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a world that is perishing. This is not about how much we can amass. This is not about having a big house and a fancy car. And the church is dying. How can people see Christ in that? Love. Love. I would like to open the phone lines for any questions or comments regarding this topic. This is something that I have really been groaning about with regards to the body of Christ. Do we have a clue of what love really is? And again, I would like to open up the phone lines for questions or comments on this topic. Caller, you're on the air. Questions or comments? Any questions, any comments? Okay, I'll continue. Time is running short. We, as the body of Christ, are under attack on a daily basis. We have to understand that if Christ is not the foundation, the enemy will overtake us. We are the believers. We are constantly under demonic attack. Why? We have to understand the ministry of Satan to understand that. The Bible makes it very, very clear. And I will read it to you. It is in the last book, in the book of Revelation. And the Word of God tells us, in the book of Revelation, I will start at verse 10. We know that we have this Satan, or this dragon, if you will, which has been cast down. And the scriptures clearly tell us that woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? Because Satan hath come down. He has come down having great wrath. Why? Because he knew that he hath but a short time. So, right now, Satan understands the significance of time. He understands that his time is short. And he understands that his ministry, in order to be effective, okay, he realizes that he has a short time and he needs to get his assignment done. So we have to understand, too, as believers, that we, too, have a responsibility, that we, too, are on a timetable, that we are to be productive in the earth, that we are not to be lazy or slack concerning the things of God. And we are to be vigilant. We are to be responsible with what God has given us. And this is our responsibility as believers. And yes, Satan, he knows. And if he knows that he's working on borrowed time, then we need to have that same mindset, that time is running short and that we have a responsibility to bring the gospel to a world that is lost. So I just wanted to share that, that as the body of Christ, we are very much, in some cases, under demonic influence, that Satan has found a dwelling place, if you will, within the body of Christ. And we need spiritual leaders. We need people who are able to discern this, who are able to discover and say, okay, I recognize where that's coming from, and begin to pray. And in fact, I want to go back to the book of Revelation chapter 12. I actually want to go back there and read from verse 7 to 11. Okay, and it says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And that is what I was referring to with regards to knowing the timetable, knowing the time before, in Satan's case, he's bound before he's bound for 1,000 years. So we too must know that our time is short, and God has given us talent. He's given some within the church. He's given some the gift or the calling or the office of apostle. He's given some the calling of a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. So there are distinct offices within the body of Christ. And as I have discussed before in previous segments, that we need to discover what God has truly called us to do. Why? Because our time is running short. Okay? This is not something we need that we should take lightly. This is not something that we should continuously say, oh, well, I don't really know. Well, pray about it. Pray. Ask God, say, Lord, what would you have these hands to do for your glory in this season? Now, it may not be fivefold ministry. It could be in another capacity. But the last thing we want is to hear that trumpet sound. Christ returns and we're idle. We're still trying to figure out what we're called to do. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but I want... If I should be that fortunate to be here, okay, to hear that trumpet, I want Jesus Christ to find me at my post, doing the will of God. I don't want to be found in sin. I do not want to be found in unrighteousness. I don't want him to discover me that way. I don't want that day to come, and I'm ashamed. No. He has given us an assignment. We must diligently seek the face of God for direction. If you don't have direction, Lord, direct me. Show me the way. What would you have these hands to do for your glory and for your honor? We need to begin to ask ourselves, what is God's purpose for our lives? Forget about man's purpose. No, we need to focus on what God's purpose is for you. Because our purpose and God's purpose is two different things. What would God have you to do for his glory. And for some, they may, well, I clean the bathrooms, or I do other maintenance work around the church, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There are people that need to do that work. And if you have a title, don't ever let your title take you to that place where you don't need to be, where like, I'm an apostle, I don't clean the bathrooms, or I'm an evangelist or a prophet. Prophets don't clean toilets. You're a servant. Clean the toilet. Don't let your title corrupt you. Do not allow for a title to become an idol, in a sense where you have now become a prisoner of a title. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about service. Ever forget this. We are not to ever forget this, that we, my brothers and sisters, we are servants, which means we are to serve. And if it means we need to clean the bathrooms, then we clean the bathrooms. If we need to take care of certain errands and maintenance work that needs to be done, we're to come together as the body of Christ to establish decency and order. That is our purpose. We're to serve regardless of what title you have. We're not to become haughty and proud. What does the Bible say about that? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is what the scriptures tell us. Pride led to Satan's downfall and him being cast out of heaven. Pride can destroy us. Pride can destroy us. We should never be above correction. We need to listen. We're not to allow our titles to bring us to a place of destruction. All about us. It is all about the religious order, if you will. No, that's not of God. Christ is not a religious order. The message of Christ is a message of redemption and healing. It is a message which is a unifying message. Yes, we understand that Jesus was sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, he was. But that did not stop him from healing Gentiles. And he brought restoration and deliverance to Gentiles. He brought healing to a Samaritan woman. This is what we need to do. And our time is now. And this atoning blood, without it, we're still in sin. We're still in bondage. And our portion is hell without the atoning blood. Every day we need to thank God. And Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place. When I deserve hell, when I deserve torment, that he should take on my sins upon his own body. I still can't understand that. So this atoning blood is personal. This atoning blood takes me all the way back to my childhood when I was in a near-death situation, actually twice. I was struck by an automobile as a child, and I almost drowned in a man-made lake. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I followed behind some little boy. Maybe we were about a couple of years. I must have been about maybe 2 or 3 years older than he was. Following behind him, jumped in a man-made lake and almost drowned. Only problem was that he could swim. I couldn't. There was a lesson to be learned in that. I'm not ashamed to talk about this. I could have died right there in that man-made lake. If that lifeguard was not there, if that lifeguard was distracted in any way, they might have found me under the, they may have found me under the boardwalk. Keeping it real. The grace of God was upon me as soon as I jumped in that water. The saving hand of God was upon me when I jumped in that man-made lake. That could have been my final day on the earth. The other incident, I was playing tag with my friend running across the street. He made it across. I didn't. God was there. That car could have dragged me for blocks. God was there. So that's my testimony. What's yours? I know. I didn't know it then, but I know now that God is with me and God is with us. So that's how I can relate to the atoning blood. That God watched over me in moments such as that. So his atoning blood goes way beyond, for me personally, what the scripture says. It says, I can relate to how God has saved me. Can you relate? Go back. Go back. Maybe you were homeless at one point. Maybe you were unemployed. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you had a near-death experience. We've got to go to another level here. Lord, we love you. I love you, Lord. I pray that every man and woman listening, Lord, will come to know you, will go deeper in you, Lord. That, Lord, this will go beyond a religious experience, but, Lord, that you would take us, hallelujah, that we would have a Damascus Road experience, Lord, that we would have a personal encounter with you, Lord, that, Lord, you would do something in us, Lord, to reveal to us that, Lord, you are so much more than words on a page. Peter had this experience. The Apostle Paul had an experience. Now it's time for us to have our own experience. The prophets had an experience with God. But in order for us to have that experience, we must get to a place of complete surrender. And we must be in tune with the frequency of God. In some cases, we're just not in tune. In fact, for some of us, the antenna's down. Well, Lord, fix that antenna so that I can be in tune with your frequency, so I can hear you clearly and know that it's you. Five minutes left. I would like to open up the lines for any questions or comments regarding this topic. Caller, you're on the air. Questions or comments? Any questions, comments regarding this topic? Okay. I would just like to say in closing that as the body of Christ, we cannot leave this world the same way in which we found it, or the same way in which we came into it. As believers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to leave this world a much better place than when we came into it. We have a responsibility to impact lives. We have a responsibility to plant the seed. Can we convert anyone to Christ? Is it our business to convert? Or we have a responsibility to do what the apostle told us to do. The apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That is our responsibility. Men and women servants, that is our responsibility. We have to plant the seed so that the Holy Spirit can come in and begin to transform and begin to do the work. That is our responsibility. Big harvest out there. There's a lot of people who are living in sin, living in sexual immorality and watching pornography, fornicating. We're not to in any way person, but look at the spirit that is operating in and through these people, because we too, now maybe we didn't fornicate or commit adultery or maybe we weren't engaged in sexual immorality, but we too had a demonic spirit. It was operating in and through us where we didn't see God. So we need to pray for this world. We need to pray that the world would see Christ, and not only just see Christ, but see Christ in us. Not see us, but see the Christ that is operating in and through us, with our love, with our compassion, with our outreach. That is our ministry. And that is what the atoning blood should mean to us. It is not all about our works. It is our faith that reveals. It is our faith that brings us to that point where we do what we do. It is about our faith. So I would encourage, I would love to encourage, and will encourage my brothers and sisters who are listening. Serve God. Serve God as the Holy Spirit would lead you in your workplace. Serve God in your community. Serve God wherever you go with your character. There's a time to preach a sermon. There's a time to hand out tracts. And there's a time just to be an example with your character, with how you conduct your business, with how you treat people. Love. That was the greatest weapon Jesus could ever teach us. Love. This is Brother Kevin Graves. I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month. Again, I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month. I wish I could talk more, but my hour is up. God bless you. I thank you so much for taking this time to listen in. For anyone who's listening in, you can contact me via email. You can reach me at pkwgraves@gmail.com. Again, that's pkwgraves@gmail.com. www.thebrainfeedersclub.com. And I'm looking forward to hearing any questions or comments. You have been listening to Kingdom Empowerment Radio Incorporated. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. And we must serve our Father in spirit and in truth. Have a good night and God bless you. Bye now.